You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, April the 29th. I got my man, Mark Narducci, in the building. Mark didn't want to hang out with the fellas yesterday. You know, he wanted to do a video. He wanted to write a story. He wanted to return a car. He wanted to do this. He wanted to do that. He didn't want to hang out with the fellas, though. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith?
Yeah, well, look, Mark is here this morning. You guys know that game two is tonight. Yesterday, we broke down, you know, game one. And we talked about some things the Sixers have to do. But today we're going to touch on that a little bit more because yesterday we had the press conference, Sixers and the Raptors. So we're going to talk about what has to happen tonight, the adjustments. That's one thing. And, you know, Ben Simmons alluded to basically he's going to be on Kawhi Leonard defending him a little bit more than he did, a lot more than he did in game one. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about the Raptors. Now, believe it or not, the Raptors won a blowout game, and they were disappointed that the 76ers got a lot of good looks. And Mark will fill you in on a lot of that. And third segment, we're going to name a player who we think has to have a big game in order for the 76ers to win game two. So with that being said, we're going to get to the first segment. Mark, what adjustments do you think? I mean, well, Ben Simmons was talking about him guarding Kawhi. What do you think about that?
Well, first off, he did guard him.
Yeah.
But Butler started on him, and he did guard him. That's all good, and that's fine. But I'm sorry. I think Kawhi is so dangerous and so elusive when he has the ball and can beat you off the dribble. The Sixers are going to have to make him stop that dribble sooner. What does that mean? They're going to have a weak side defender come up on him. Now, you're going to say, well, look, he's going to hit Siakam or someone else for an open shot. I understand all that, but you have to pick your poison, Keith. And the way he just shredded them, they can't handle him one-on-one. I don't think Simmons, who I think is a good defender, can either. So I think that they really have to concentrate on making him pick up that dribble and stop it and then make a decision from there other than shooting the ball, because when he did that, he torched them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think when Kawhi is motivated, he's next level. You know what I mean? Like a next level type of guy, you know. I mean, nothing against Jimmy Butler and nothing against Tobias Harris, who are two guys who are – somebody's going to give them a max this year. But you look at them, and they're great players. They're max players. But they're not on the same level as Kawhi. Like, it's like Kawhi, LeBron, you know, guys like that. You know, Embiid in regards to a center. But I don't even think Embiid's on Kawhi's level at this particular time.
Keith, this sounds crazy, but let's keep this in perspective what I'm saying. You can make an argument that Kawhi is the best all-around player in the NBA because of how great he is defensively. Now, we all know Durant is the most talented offensive player, maybe LeBron as well. But the best two-way all-around player, I think, is Kawhi because he is as impactful on one end as he is on the other.
I agree, but I don't even think you have to make an argument. I think that's just a fact. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, be honest. Like, you know, what he does on the defensive end, and he was always known as a defensive player, but he worked hard on his offensive game. I mean, he just is way better. He's by far the best player on the court. Now, again, Embiid is great as a center. You know, Ben Simmons will mature, and he will get better. But when you look at Kawhi, he's just on a different level right now. And here's the thing that you said. In regards to, you know, getting back to a little bit of what do they have to do, you know, a lot of people are saying, what the heck is Brett Brown doing? How do you know, you got one guy on him. You're doing this, you're doing that. Well, the problem with Toronto is that it's one of those pick your poison type things. You know, you got these defenders. You're going to throw them at them. But you don't want the other guys to get off because once they start raining threes, it's over. Now, the thing that they got to understand, the thing that they got to deal with now is, it's like, okay, well, we left him open or we did him one-on-one. and they killed us that way. So it's kind of like pick your poison. Now, if I'm Brett Brown, I'm thinking like, all right, well, I'm going to double team him. So now I'm going to leave open some threes, and guys are going to bury shots, or they could bury shots.
And that's what happened. You remember on Saturday, Siakam was a direct beneficiary of some Kawhi passes. He was all alone in that corner, and he was drilling them. The other thing, Keith, they have to do is – I think Kawhi is about as good as anyone at the NBA at getting a rebound and starting a one-man fast break. And they never were slowing his dribble down. He there would be no one near him, and he'd be past midcourt. So that's another thing. Easier said than done. I understand that. But that's another thing, because when he starts that one-man fast break, I mean, they had so many, three-on-twos, two-on-ones, it's just very, very hard to stop.
Yeah, it is. But we'll see a lot. Now, Ben Simmons, like you said, Ben's going to be on him a little bit. At least he said he thinks that's the plan. But it's going to be hard to stop. We're going to see how the Sixers are going to make adjustments. But, as we're going to get into in this second segment, the Sixers aren't going to be the only team making adjustments. I know, a lot of people, all they care about the Sixers. But you got to understand, there's two teams playing this game. And, Nick Nurse is proven to be a solid coach right now. He showed that. They won a playoff series. He has a great team. He has a veteran ball club. And, he's been assistant coach for a minute. So it's one of these things. I'm looking forward to them making some adjustments, too. And as they told you yesterday at practice, that they weren't totally happy with the way they played. And when we get back from this commercial break, we'll let you dive into that. All right, so Mark, they weren't happy with their performance. Talk about that.
Sometimes people just say that, and all. I really believed it. They were ticked off, Keith, because they felt the Sixers got too many good looks. And as someone that agreed to that was J.J. Redick. He was 0-for-4 in the first half. And yet he said those were good looks. They don't want to give – they admit it that Redick frustrates them. That, remember he was 5-for-7 from 3 in the third quarter. And they were sticking to him pretty closely. But, A, he's got a quick release. He does not need much room to shoot. So they felt, first of all, that they gave the Sixers too many good looks, and especially him. I mean, and he can get his own good looks on his own – off screens and things like that. What they said that they've got to do a better job of is denying him the ball. Again, not an easy task, because on that 24-second clock, he's moving. And Fred VanVleet, one of the guys that was guarding him, talked about just how hard it is following him off screens and everything like that. So that's going to be one of the adjustments that they try to do and really, really play up on him even more, as if they weren't doing it the other night.
Yeah, and I guess when they're talking about the open looks, they're talking about from the three-point line. They have to be, because it seems like the Sixers couldn't drive, because whenever they would try to penetrate, it looked like Toronto's length and height kind of impeded them from getting places. You know what I mean? So is that they? So and when some people are saying, what are you talking about? The Sixers couldn't get anywhere. Well, they're talking about how Jimmy Butler went 0-for-3 on threes. They're talking about how Joel Embiid went 1-for-3. J.J. Redick shot 5-for-12. Furkan Korkmaz went 1-for-4. Jonah Bolden went 1-for-4. So if all these guys at least made one more three, right, the Sixers would have been, the game would have been closer. Could have been.
Well, the thing that, and I wrote about this, Keith, I thought the Sixers were not aggressive enough taking it to the basket. Now, James Ennis, I posed that to him, and he said to me, well, here's the thing. They get their hands on so many balls and everything like that. They make it hard to go all the way. Well, it's not supposed to be easy to go to the basket. True. But I sometimes, and we saw in the second quarter, Ben Simmons had a little flurry, a finger roll near the basket. Then he had that dunk off the backdoor pass from Embiid. I just don't think that they give that enough time. I don't think they stick to it that much. And I thought it was almost the same thing they did in game one against the Nets. They weren't aggressive enough going to the basket. They were passing it out too much. And I think they're going to be a little more aggressive this time in game two against Toronto.
Yeah, I do. I do, too. But it's going to be – I'm looking forward to seeing the type of adjustments that both teams make, you know, including the Raptors. I mean, I just – like, I want to see what they want to do against the Sixers and their perimeter D because, you know, they hemmed up Joel Embiid. You know, Jimmy Butler didn't have a good game. But then you look at it offensively. Look at Kyle Lowry. He went 4 for 10, 0 for 4 on threes. You know, Marc Gasol was a defensive stopper. He only took 8 shots. Danny Green only had 5 shots. So, you know, I'm trying to look, and I'm looking forward to seeing what type of adjustments are going to be made for both teams.
No question. And the other thing is, I think Danny Green is one of the real good snipers in the NBA. I think when he gets a rhythm, he can really, really do it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you mentioned he only went 1 for 4 from three, do you think that's going to keep happening this series? That's what I'm saying. I think that there are a lot of things Toronto can improve on. Green is certainly one of those people.
It's like something you said before we started the podcast when we were just chatting about the game. You know, it's not going to be every day that Kawhi Leonard scores 45 points, but it's also not going to be every day that, you know, Danny Green goes 1 for 4 and Kyle Lowry goes 0 for 4. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's going to be a lot of differences.
And Keith, we've heard a lot about how the Raptors have a decided advantage in the bench. They only scored 10 bench points. Yeah. And 7 were by Ibaka, and he got a bunch of them late. So Van Fleet did not – that's the other thing. Van Fleet is capable of playing much, much better. He only had 3 points, and I don't think he was himself in this game. So, yeah, they also have some room for improvement. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And then when we come back from this commercial break, let's talk about – the player that has to step up for the Sixers in order for them to win game 2. All right, Mark. So who do you think has to step up in order for the Sixers to be able to win game 2?
Keith, this is no revelation. Let's be honest. Joel Embiid. And none other than Joel Embiid said the same thing. He said after the game, I did not play well. He said their stars did it. I didn't. And he took accountability for that. He was 5 for 18. Here's the problem with that. I think the only way Joel Embiid has a chance to have a good game is getting Marc Gasol in foul trouble and just pounding it on him. It's not easy, because the one thing about Gasol is, as a defender, Keith, he moves his feet beautifully, and he is not faked out when Embiid tries to take him off the dribble facing him. You know, he just has a great position. And by the way, Gasol was a plus 29 last night. That was even better than Kawhi Leonard. So his defensive value was so great. I did think Embiid was able to take advantage of Ibaka early on, but then later on, even Ibaka got a little bit of steam. But Gasol is more his height. He's very strong, and that's why he's such a tough defender. The other thing is, when he's out of the game, they have to really, really go to Embiid, because Ibaka, you know, he's, what, 6'9"? He can't handle him down low.
Yeah, you know, you raised a great point, and you picked the person that I wanted to pick. But I'm going to go in a different direction just because you took Embiid. And I do also believe that this person has to show up as well, and that's Jimmy Butler. You know, he has to show up.
No question.
Jimmy Butler had 10 points. He was 4 for 12. The problem is he shot 3 for 5 in the first quarter and went 1 for 7 the rest of the way. You know, he had defensive struggles. I mean, he struggled mightily against Kawhi. You know, Kawhi, you know, made a spin move on him that's basically that went viral, you know. Now, the thing about Jimmy is Jimmy Butler is the type of guy, he takes what defenses give him. So whereas some people are going to say, you know, how come he's not shooting the ball? How come he's not doing this? How come he's not doing that? And basically, Jimmy has a knack for giving up a good shot for a great shot to teammates. But we got to see selfish Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has to be a little bit more selfish and try to get his, because the Sixers are going to need him. You know, like, you know, Ben Simmons shot 7 for 8. You know, J.J. Redick, you know, he had 13 shots, 5 for 12 threes he made. You know, he attempted and made, you know. But I believe in order for them to win, Jimmy Butler has to be the second best player on the floor for the Sixers.
Well, it's interesting. I think Butler was so frustrated early on in guarding Kawhi, I think that affected his offensive game. I really do. And that's the kind of effect that dealing with Kawhi will have. But you're right. You know, since he had that 36-point eruption, a career playoff high in game one against the Nets, he has been a guy that, and he said after that, remember, Keith,
yeah,
I want to blend in more. I had no assists. So,
yeah.
But you're right. He's got to be a little more selfish on the offensive end. There's no question about it.
And I get it. You know, and that's what he does. And see, that's the thing, because, I mean, you look at a guy like T.J. McConnell. He played the final 4 minutes and 10 seconds. So you got Ben Simmons and T.J. McConnell are the only two point guards on the roster, right? The only two. So you're not playing T.J., so Jimmy Butler has to play point guard. But right now, you know, Jimmy Butler distributing the rock isn't really helping you. I mean, in this series. Now, I guess the other one it did, because now you need him, that alpha dog. And see, the funny thing is, if you notice, you know, in each playoff series, people, like, when a guy misses a shot, it's kind of like, uh-oh, that's a blown opportunity. You know what I mean? It's like a waste of possession. You can't have a bunch of them, because, especially against this team, because Kawhi will get the ball, he'll get the rebound, and he's starting to break going the other end. And then next thing you know is a 4-point swing or a 5-point swing. And they just can't have that. They can't have that.
No, they can't. The other thing, if you're a Sixer fan and you're looking for some hope, you got to think that Siakam can't shoot 12 for 15 again, right? I mean,
you can. I mean, because if you look at it, like, all right, my thing is, so Siakam, well, he was 3 for 4 on threes. I give him that. You know, I'm going to give you that. But a lot of his stuff was around the basket. Like, other than that, you know, he was wide open hitting threes, but he was taking them to the hole, too. You know what I mean? So, you know, and here's my thing. I, you know, when people say, like, wow, they can't possibly shoot 70% again, or they can't do this, it's like, right then and there, that's telling me you don't have any answers. It's like, you know, our best hope is that the team isn't as hot as they were before. You know what I mean? Like, just try to stop them. You know what I mean? Like, when you start hoping and praying, that's not a good...
Keith, one last thing on your point about Butler. There were several times where he was guarded by Kyle Lowry in game one. Kyle Lowry's listed at 6'1", whether he is or not. Butler's 6'8".
You say any line?
Oh, I'm just saying, Butler has a decided height advantage. I didn't see one post-up opportunity. Don't you think you have to take advantage of that? I mean, instead of settling for a medium-range jump shot?
I agree 100%. And that's the thing. You know, I think he was trying to get other people involved, and it got to a point the game got away from him. I mean, and let's face it, he struggled shooting. He started off 3 for 5, and then in the last three quarters, he went 1 for 7. That's not good. You know what I mean? That's not good. Because if you look at the shots, yeah, you know, of the starters, of everyone, he had the fourth most, which isn't, you know, like, you know, you got Embiid with 18, Tobias with 17. We all say Tobias needs to shoot more. Redick had 13. He had 12. I mean, he needs to have more shots than Redick. You know, Ben was 7 of 8, you know, so it's just...
Well, Ben even said on Sunday he's got to do a little more offensively. He's got to, you know, get those shot attempts up.
Yeah, he does, but I, you know, he does. But, you know, Ben, when you have all these other guys, and Ben may not like this, but when you have these other guys, you know, Ben shooting the ball a lot more is complimenting these guys. You know what I mean? Like, when you start saying, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, we want Ben, people want Ben to shoot, but they want him to shoot jumpers. They want him to do stuff like that. But, you know, Jimmy Butler needs to be a little bit more selfish.
Yeah, and one other thing, Ben Simmons had 3 assists. You're not going to win many games when he only has 3 assists, because that means the rest of the guys aren't completing some of those passes for shots. So look for that assist total to go up in game 2.
Yeah, we'll see. But hey, Mark, I ain't about to call you Mike, man. Mark, I want to thank you for joining this podcast. Sorry for mispronouncing your name. And I want to thank you all for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow. Peace.